Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 5, reading verse 17. "And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm asking, Lord, that you would help me to do what you told Peter. You said to feed my sheep. Lord, I believe that you've shown me what to say today, and I believe that the word that you have provided, Lord, is bread to the soul. It's bread to the eater. Lord, help the people to feast on the word of God. And as John the Baptist said, Lord, that I may decrease, but that Christ may increase. Lord, whatever needs the people have today, I'm asking that you would somehow meet their needs. Lord, we ask for mercy. We ask for your long-suffering. We ask for your goodness and mercy. I ask that you would meet the needs of those listening today. And Lord, we're careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. Lord, we worship you in the matchless and wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. He said that, "and the power of the Lord was present to heal them." That's what Dr. Luke, the writer of this gospel, said. I'd like to jump back to chapter 4, but I'd like to say, if you read the book of Luke, you obviously are reading the life of Jesus Christ, but this book is different in character from the book of Matthew, and from the book of Mark, and from the book of John. There are the four Gospels, and the four Gospels will give us a picture, one from one angle, one from another viewpoint, but they will give us a picture of the life of Jesus while he was here on earth. Now, many times when you read it, you'll say, "Well, I read Matthew and I think I understand what Jesus did." But then you go over to the book of Mark, and it seems like almost the same thing. And I remember the first time that I picked up the Bible and started to read as a new Christian, it seemed to me, "Man, I like what I'm reading here in Matthew. This is great." And I didn't know the Bible at all, really. But I read it hungrily, and then I went to the book of Mark, and it's the same story. And then I got to Luke, and it's like, "Well, wait, I'm reading the same thing over and over again. A couple of variations, but I'm reading the same story," and that is the fact. It is the same story, but again, told from different perspectives. Those three Gospels are what we call the Synoptic Gospels. They coincide pretty much one with another. Then you have the book of John, which again is a gospel, but it's somewhat different in character. But many scholars will say that if you look at the book of Matthew, it shows us Jesus Christ from the perspective of Christ being the king of the Jews, the king of Israel, and certainly he is that. When you read the book of Mark, you'll find that it seems that he is a servant. In the book of Luke, you'll find, again, the same story, but you'll find it from the perspective of that he is a man, the Son of Man, filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you read the book of John, you'll find that it's still from the perspective of this is God that has come down to live here on earth. Now, a few more details, I suppose. In Matthew, you will find In the first few chapters, you'll find the lineage or the genealogy. You'll find who his father was, and you'll find who his father's father was, and etc. You'll look in the book of Luke, and you'll also find the genealogy, but it looks a little bit different. It's got different names many times. But it gives his genealogy not from the father, but through Mary, his mother. And I understand that Mary is his actual mother, and that Joseph is not his real father, but his adopted father. We know that Jesus is the Son of God and not the son of Joseph. But still, it gives these lineages and it gives these genealogies the way that it gives them. You look in the book of Luke, you look in the book of Matthew, and you will find, again, basically the same story, but you won't see a genealogy. He's a servant, and we know that servants, yes, they have mothers and fathers, but no one cares about the genealogy of a servant. Then you look at the book of John. In the first chapter or so, you'll find very plainly that it's talking about that God came down to earth and took the form of a man. But all of them are necessary. All four of them are necessary to give a complete picture of the life of Christ while he was here on earth. But I'd like to focus my attention on Luke and his viewpoint, if you will. It says in Luke chapter 4, he says in verse 12, let's start there. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. Now, this is interesting. Jesus is the Son of God. He is, in fact, God. He is, in fact, God. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But we know that Jesus is God, and as God, God created the heavens and the earth. There's nothing that Jesus could not do, and certainly he performed many miracles. But you'll find in the book of Luke, over and over and over again, it says that the Holy Spirit was there, that the Holy Spirit's power was there. It says he returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And I believe that teaches us a few things. I believe that as we try to live the Christian life, that we should do so not in our own power, but in the power of the Spirit. Today I was reading in the book of Galatians, and it said that Paul intended to live the life of a Christian not in his own power, but by the help of Jesus Christ, by the help of his faith in Christ, and depending upon the Holy Spirit to help him live. But again, it says, and again and again and again, it says that the Spirit of God was with Jesus Christ. And as he preached, as he fed the 5,000, as he raised the dead, as he cast out devils, as he healed the sick, as he taught the people, the Spirit of God was there. In verse 18, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And, of course, this is Christ speaking. "Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." That is Christ speaking, and he's talking about his job, his mission. And I've referred to this before, that he had a mission to come and save souls. And we have the co-mission, or the privilege to work with him, and the charge to work with him as co-laborers with Christ to bring in the lost. But he did not do these things by his own power. Yes, he is God. There is no question. Jesus can heal the sick. by himself. There's no question. Obviously, he is God. But if you read in Philippians chapter 2, it talks about the kenosis of Christ, and that is a Greek word, but it says that he emptied himself. In fact, let's go ahead and turn to it, and I'll read the passage. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, Jesus claimed to be God, and he was perfectly right in doing so. He was not taking away from God the Father at all by saying that he was God the Son. But he made himself of no reputation. He didn't go out and say, look at me, look how good I am. But he made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And obviously that talks about John chapter 1, where God came in the flesh and dwelt among men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Now this is God come in the flesh. This is the one that created the heavens and the earth. This is the one that spoke. And everything that we read in the book of Genesis came into being. But he humbled himself. And again, we're talking about lessons. We should humble ourselves. We should walk in humility. We should not be proud. We should not think of ourselves any more highly than we ought to think. If Christ is our example and he humbled himself, certainly we should learn how to be humble. And he became obedient unto death, obedient to God the Father, and unto death, even the death on the cross, or of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and you know the rest of this, but I'll read it, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God, come in the flesh, and simply by coming in the flesh, that was a thing of humility. When they spat upon him, when they plucked his beard, when they beat him with the cat o' nine tails, he didn't say, wait a minute, I'm God, why are you doing this to me? And oh, by the way, poink, you're dead. He willingly, like a lamb, he let himself be led to the slaughter. And again, if you want to talk about lessons, then we need to understand that we have rights. I understand that we have rights. I'm very happy to live the life of an American. I've been to other countries. I've been to Mexico. I've been to Honduras. And I've been to Haiti. And obviously, Haiti is not a very nice place. But I like being an American. I like living as an American. But it's not right that we should demand our rights and demand this and demand that. We should learn how to be humble and not demand, because Christ didn't demand. He suffered a lot of things. He willingly put up with a lot of things. And we should, again, if we're going to take examples and lessons, we should learn how to be humble. But he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. But he said, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee. He said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and speaking to those that are going to do the great commission, he said that the Spirit of God would come to rest upon us in power, that we would be witnesses unto Christ to take the gospel to the whole earth. Again, why would God, that's come here to earth, rely upon the power of the Spirit? That's a lesson that we can learn. And we should depend upon the power of the Spirit and not upon our own abilities. Not, well, you know, I've got a license to preach, or I'm ordained, or they made me a deacon, or I'm head of the Sunday school board, or I've been to bridal college, or I've got a seminary degree. No, none of these things matter. None of these things matter. We should not rely upon our abilities, our power. We certainly should not rely upon politics. We should rely upon God. I preached on healing, or made reference to healing, a number of times, and I've always said that God can have mercy and heal the sick. I'm not one of the very prideful people on the television circuit. I preach the healing the way that they do. I believe that God heals the sick, but you'll not hear me prancing about like they do. But I do believe that God does heal the sick. But let's look at verse 31. And he came down to Capernaum. And again, we're still in chapter 4 of Luke. He came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath day. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. They were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. In other words, God's not interested in Dr. Sounding Brass. I don't care how many degrees or how many letters you have behind your name. If you don't have the power of God when you teach, I'll get bored and I'll turn you off or go find another church to attend or whatever. We need the power of God, just as Christ depended upon the power of the Spirit to do the things that he did. Let's look at verse 36. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, What a word is this! For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they came out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. Let's just read a little bit. He says in verse 38, And he rose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. This would be Peter. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. This is interesting, that he stands over a sick person and prays, and it says that he rebuked the fever. And I don't really, again, I'm not one of the televangelists. I don't make a big deal out of this. I don't think of myself, as I said, more highly than I ought to think. But he rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she rose and ministered unto them. Now look at verse 40. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands upon every one of them and healed them. And devils came also out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them, suffering them not to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. But you find that Christ healed the sick. You find that he had compassion upon the multitude. You find that if someone was suffering, that he prayed for them. It says that he rebuked the fever or what have you. But he laid his hands upon them and had compassion on them, and every one that came to him was healed. Another of my favorite passages would be in the book of Matthew in chapter 8, and it says that in verse 16 and 17, and it's probably talking about the same event, that it says then when the evening was come, that all the people came to him, and he laid hands on them, and he healed everyone that was sick went away healed. Again, I believe that there are lessons that we can learn. If you were sick in your body, or someone you know or someone you love is sick in your body, God is able to heal them. Now, I'm glad we have doctors. I'm glad we have insurance or whatever. I'm glad that we have medicines. And I believe that medical science has made a number of strides in the last few decades, and they've done some wonderful things. I remember when I was down in Haiti, the first or second time I went, I don't remember exactly. Obviously, that's a third world country. It's one of the worst places to be, honestly, in the entire world. It's the second poorest nation on the face of the earth. The first, now it's changing a little bit. India is getting a little bit better, but for a long time, India was the poorest place on the planet. And Calcutta in that area is really a very awful place. But I'm not a fool. I know of a few diseases or a few afflictions that you can get. And I arm myself with knowledge and sometimes medicine. But we visited this one man. It was downtown of Port-au-Prince. And I had gotten sick at one point. I had eaten something that wasn't good for me, and I remember that I had gotten my stomach swole up for a couple of days, and I was, if you watch on TV, the little babies with the stomach swollen up, I was like that for 2 days. And somebody had given me a rather strong antibiotic, and I took it, and the symptoms went away, and I was much better. But I remember we went to visit this man, and it was very obvious that his stomach was big, and I knew what the trouble was, and he had been like that for a week, and he couldn't get out of bed or anything. And so I told the person living there with him, his son or whoever it was, I wrote it down, and I said, look, take a couple of dollars, go to the drugstore, the pharmacy or whatever, and get this medicine. I told him to get tetracycline, and he came back. And I said, you know, take one of these in the morning, take one in the evening, and take, you know, 5 days worth, whatever. In about the space of 4 hours, that one pill that he had taken helped him so much that he was up out of bed. He was sitting in his doorway and interacting with people. So I'm not afraid of medicine, but the point I'm trying to make is that God has compassion. God cares about those that are suffering. And certainly, you know, if I have a chance to use my knowledge in medical science, I'll do that again. But my point is that God cares for you. God cares for those that are suffering. And Jesus, when he was here on planet Earth, everywhere he went, if he found somebody that was suffering, or practically everywhere, he couldn't. There were some places he couldn't do very many big miracles because of the unbelief. But practically everywhere Jesus went, if somebody was suffering, that he would reach out his hand, or he would speak a word, and they would be miraculously healed. And again, and again, and again, you will read in the Gospels that he had the power to heal people. And he did it by the power of the Spirit. Now again, we know that he's God, but he didn't use his divine powers to do any of the miracles that he did. He relied upon the Holy Spirit. You say, well, how can you say that? Well, in the Old Testament, we read about Elijah, and then we read about Elisha. Elijah performed 7 miracles. Elisha performed 14, twice as many. He had a double portion. If you remember the passage, he had a double portion of Elijah's spirit. The presence of God resting upon him, the anointing that he had, he asked for and received a double portion of the Spirit of God. And it was the Spirit of God that helped him perform, and helped each of them perform the miracles. If you look in the book of Acts, again and again you'll see that people were healed. At one point, Peter, walking down the street on his way to church or whatever, walking down the street, the morning shadow would come and people would line up so that his shadow would fall upon them as he walked past. And they would one by one get up because they had been healed by the power of God. We need to trust the Lord for healing. I don't believe that the age of miracles is past. I wish that the power of God was more evident in our lives and in our churches like it was in the book of Acts and whatever. But I know that Jesus is still on his throne. I know that Jesus still loves us, still has compassion, still has mercy. And if we will cry out to the Father in the name of Jesus, Lord, please heal this person or whatever, God can do it. I know that I've been healed many times. If time was not running out, I could tell you a story again in Haiti of the time that we preached this service, and very, very briefly, this service lasted about 2 hours. When we got there, there was a little kid on his first or second row, screaming, clutching his stomach. And we prayed for him repeatedly during the time that we were there. 2 hours later, we left. But not before we had saw that little boy up on his feet, smiling, eating a cookie, having a great time, because God reached down and healed him. So if there be any sick among you, call for your pastor, let him pray for you, and God can raise you up. God can heal you if you're sick. Lord, take me back to the old land. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. Or just go to the main page and follow the links on the left, and you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.